What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Uncensored Podcast. I'm Carter Hawes, and today I'm here with
Coach Chad Carpenter.
And for those who don't know, Coach Carpenter is our special teams coordinator at Trinity High School, and he is coming off back-to-back state championships. And we're just going to get some coaching insight from Coach Carpenter here. So, Coach Carp, you've been through the good, the bad, the ugly with Trinity football. What's the biggest difference you see between the good teams and the great teams?
I think that we've had a lot of really special teams, and even the ones that haven't reached their goal have been quality teams. I think the thing that really sets them apart is when that we have a senior leadership team that really locks in and focuses the guys behind them. And when they do that and they lead in that manner, usually it's pretty special. We need the buy-in of the younger classmen to jump in on board. And when they do that, we, like this year, it took us a while in the summer to get our seniors focused to really lead. And they did a great job. And they had a great crew from the previous season to follow. And they kind of knew how to lead. And so when they did that, things fell together and we were able to put together a good run.
Yeah, I mean, I still remember the article that dropped around before the season started from the Courier Journal talking about how, oh, is Trinity going to be okay? You lost a lot of good seniors from the year before. And then, I feel like a lot of people, if you're inside Trinity, knew it was going to take a minute for those pieces to fall just because there were so many quality starters from that last year's defense, especially, that these guys were going to have to step up, but in time it would work out.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you lose guys like Dane Morrow and Gabe Mingus and Brady McEnany and those integral pieces, especially for us defensively, you got to grow up in your own way, in your own manner. And that's what, with Jack DeBellis and, really Jack and JC played a little bit last year, so he knew that position. But Jack and Nick was injured the previous year, so Nick had to kind of find his way too. And the defensive line with living into spots that were vacated with Tronzo. It's absolutely true that they have to kind of find their own way, be their own player, and then develop their own leadership qualities themselves. Mm-hmm. And they did a great job of doing that.
So obviously you've been around the game of football for a long time, been around a lot of great mentors, a lot of great players. You've learned a lot about yourself as a coach. What would you say is the best piece of coaching advice you've ever received? And what would you say your coaching philosophy is?
This past season was my 25th year of coaching, and I've had the opportunity to be at a lot of great places. I've been a head coach myself, and I just grab a little bit of pieces from everybody, from Coach Greg Stubbs at Tennessee High School, to my athletic director that was at Rockford Christian, to Coach Beatty and to Coach Cobb. And I think that kind of the best thing and the best piece of advice that I've heard from anybody is just really just put your head down and work and coach the guys that you have. Don't wish for something else. I wish I had this kind of guy, or I wish I was coaching a guy who was 6'3 and could run a 4.42. Because we do an injustice to the guys that we have in our position groups. And so, it is what it is. So suck it up and coach the guys that you have and give them your very best. Mm-hmm. And if we can do that, and if they see that passion and that energy, they feed off that and they want to do their very best. And so that's been the kind of the thing that I've learned throughout my college or my coaching career is to give the guys that I have the opportunity to work with my very best. And it's been 100% of the time they give back their very best. So,
So a specific player that Coach Fox talked about when he came on, I've heard you talk about before, Nick Cardosi, one of your former players, you talked about him as one of the best players you ever had the opportunity to coach. What separated Nick from the other players you coached, because you've coached a lot of great players during your 25 years of coaching football, do you try and replicate or take lessons from him of what he did so well and teach that to other players? But obviously, some things are unteachable in certain players, but are there certain things that were in Nick that you tried to, or you still try to use today?
Sure. You know, Nick was a special player. He played football fast. So everything about his reads, his shuffling, the way that he had a nose for the ball, like that was really special for an inside linebacker. And, you know, we often ask our guys that we're currently coaching to go back and take a look at the things that Nick did on film to learn from. And like one thing that I did this year what Nick Cardosi did, Nick Cardosi wasn't a great, we do a thing called shuffle leaning, and that's a rapid fire three or four steps that inside linebackers do to read their guard. And I told my guys this year, hey, one thing that Nick did when he was trying to learn how to shuffle lean really well is that every free moment he had in practice, he was shuffle leaning across the line on the sideline. And so just not trying to be like, hey, you need to be like Nick Cardosi, but say, hey, this is some things that one of our best linebackers ever that we've ever had did, it might help you to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it doesn't work, you know, like there's been times when guys have not been able to shuffle lean. And so like, hey, let's get away from that because that's not your forte. So, you know, just try to take everybody's skill set and do what works for them.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's important because, like, you know, with basketball last year, one of the things that used, like, Dre Vassar had an incredible motor, and that's one that you can't teach in a player is their motor, their drive. But, like, what you just said, you just have to adapt to what each player's skill set is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and, like, let's look at Jack DeBellis, you know, super proud of that young man. Being able, you know, when he came in as a freshman, and I talked to Jack, I said, Jack, I didn't think that you would be a starter for me. You know, but the way that he worked, and he has a good nose for the ball. He's extremely smart, and so he's always in the right spot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one way that guys can play fast. If they know the game, they know what to expect, they're in the right spot, then the game slows down for them. And he did a great job, so.
Yeah, that's what we saw next, actually, is because, you know, Jack, he had a very like traditional path before he got to start. You know, he was on scout team for sophomore, junior year, just learning about a lot of great players. But then he finally got hit the shot this year, but was able to become, like, you know, I think he led the team in tackles this year. Because, like you said, he was always in the right place. But, like, what did you see, like, in Jack, you know, that allowed for him to get a spot on the field? Because, obviously, you know, Jack, he's even in lacrosse, he's always been a great leader, great talking. But, like, what did you see in Jack that finally allowed for him to get a shot?
It probably started last year in his junior season when he went down to scout team and he embraced being the scout team leader. You know, Jack was the scout team player of the year last year for us. And he knew that that was his role, to make our team better, to make our team get to where they wanted to go. He knew that he had it to take the leadership role, to get the guys lined up, to help them play fast so that the offense last year could see at the right speed, the right level, what they were going to see on a Friday night. And I think that helped Jack tremendously as he came into this year, knowing that he had to play fast, understanding that he wasn't the fastest guy on the team or the most talented, that he had to be in the right spot and he had to know what to do. And he did that. And he came in ready to work. I think that was Jack's goal coming in this year, is that he wanted to start. And so he got that opportunity, and, you know, he never relinquished that role.
Yeah, I feel that's a big thing, and like every sport is buying in, because every sport has a role. And obviously, you know, not everyone's going to be able to be the super athletic guy that makes these highlight plays, but when you can just buy in, accept that's your role, and do your role to the best of your ability, that's what I think every coach wishes they had in every player, someone that can just accept their role.
Absolutely. Find your role to help the team be successful. And that looks different for everybody. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. But hey, even Jack had some really good highlights this year. You know, he was in the right position, and he was able to, you know, multiple times throughout the year, he was taking on Division I football players.
Yes.
and blowing them up and being in the right spot and making plays. And, you know, that's a huge asset to Jack's ability. Like, he was able to get there, play fast, and you always saw it with his excitement after he made those plays, mm-hmm. you know, and elevated the people around him. So
yeah. Oh, so, you know, so you're a special team coordinator. One of the plays that you ran, I still remember it. It was the fake punt to Clint Sansbury in the championship game last year against Bryan Station. So obviously, you know, you're going to practice those fake punts and other wrinkles with that group. But are there certain coverages that you look for or tells in the opponent that, like, you look for when the other team lines up on special teams? Or is it kind of just you trust the guys to go out there and get it done?
No, so, you know, I know that when you talked with Coach Fox, that they talked about preparation and how much that we as a staff prepare. You know, so just like offensively, defensively, we're looking at special team opportunities. And so one thing when you think about punt team, the punt return team, if they've got too high, you know, that means usually with our spread, traditional spread punts, we've got two gunners. And so if they've got too high, that only leaves seven in the box. And if we get seven in the box, it's an opportunity for a fake punt opportunity. And, you know, with that one in the state championship level, 2023, we definitely saw the right alignment that we had seen on film prior to. We knew that it would be a definite first down. But Clint, you know, was able to read the holes. And we like to have that PP, that personal protector, that has that vision, that has that that attitude that Clint did. That if he gets the opportunity, he's going to be patient. He's going to read the hole. When he gets the hole, he's going to be able to go. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we scout it just like we do scouting an offense or scouting a defense. In the same game, we had a surprise onside. And so we had seen in the film of Bryan Station that they only had one guy on the outside hash. And, you know, we were able to come back. Carson put a great ball down, and Huck Campbell was able to recover that onside. And so those are the things that we look for. Are there just misalignments or alignments or formations that aren't sound, and can we exploit that to take advantage and be able to steal a possession? Mm-hmm.
So obviously an onside kick, it's like, you know, they always talk about the stats, like it's so hard to get an onside kick. Like, it's a whole operation as a team. Like, but how do you know, like, an onside kick is going to work? Like, when to try it? Because obviously, you know, there were sometimes last year where we would try an onside kick where, like, we had momentum our way and, you know, just try and get the ball back. Like, when did you know to try an onside kick, knowing that, like, obviously it's so hard to get it, but then when you do get it, it can be a whole game changer?
Sure. You know, and I think you got to think, like, how is our defense playing? You know, if our defense is really struggling to stop them, you know, because we're giving them up pretty good field position if we put them, you know, on the 50 with the ball. So one thing we kind of think about, okay, how's our defensive playing? The second thing we're thinking about, are we getting the correct look? And then third, like, hey, if we've got the momentum, let's go ahead and really try to pressure them or to be bold in our decision-making of going to get this. And, you know, that onside, the surprise onsides that we like to do, we work those and we rep those starting in July. And so guys are going to get enough reps, both first team and second team, that they know what they need to do to make sure that we get that ball. And, you know, it doesn't hurt to have a great kicker.
Yeah.
When we had Kellen McLaughlin, like, he was fantastic at the surprise eight. And so we did that a few times with him because he was really able to be patient, wait for that ball to cross the 10-yard mark, and then pounce on it. Carson's was more like, let's kick the surprise nine or the wide onside. So we want to look at the strengths of our personnel as well. So mm-hmm. A lot of things kind of go into that situation.
So obviously everyone wants to talk about, you know, the team, the players building chemistry. Well, what a lot of people think about is the coaches. You all spend a lot of time together. Coach Fox even said, like, we spend almost more time with these coaches than all of our families. So, like, how important is it that, like, even after the game's over, like, you know, you're going to talk with your coaches? How important is it to have a good chemistry with your whole coaching staff? Because obviously, you know, it's going to get hard at some points in the season. and the coaching staff, you know, they're going to be the face of adversity. But how hard is it to have a group that you can trust and rely on when it starts to get hard?
It's extremely important. You know, a lot of us have been together for quite a while, for 10 seasons, and that makes things a lot easier. Because for Coach Fox, being the defensive coordinator, he knows what I'm coaching. He knows the techniques that I'm teaching. He knows that I'm going to take care of my job. You know, and that's not to say that we never have any disagreements or, you know, some heated discussions, because we have, you know. But yeah, the good thing about it is that we're adults, we're professionals, and that we can usually take a breath, have a conversation. You know, there's a guys on staff are very humble to, like, hey, man, I totally screwed up. That was my bad. I shouldn't have done that, or I shouldn't have came at you like that or questioned you. Also things that we try to do, you know, I don't coach the defensive line, so I don't step on their toes. And so if I see something that was wrong or could be fixed, like, I would go to the D-line coach. Like, I often would go to Coach Leslie. Hey, I saw the end. He stepped this way when he should have done this. Might want to take a look at it the next rep. So really just having great conversations, being open to hear constructive criticism from other coaches, but also being humble to say, hey, man, I screwed up and you're right, and let's get this right and fixed so we can help our guys be successful.
Yeah, I feel like that's something that's always been about you. Even like just being in your math class twice, you know, on the lacrosse field, you always keep it 100 with everyone, because I feel this too. If you are sugarcoating something and telling someone, oh, it looks good, but it really, in reality, it doesn't look good. It's not looking good. If you continue to tell them what you're doing is right and you don't actually give them the proper coaching or advice that they need, then they're not ever going to get better.
Absolutely. You know, and my philosophy has always been, I'm not a high school kid's friend. Mm-hmm. I'm their coach. Are we going to have a great relationship? Yes. And that relationship continues when they graduate. But what a high schooler's wanting and needing, he's not looking for a friend. What he's looking for is someone to help him be successful. And if I don't shoot him straight, I'm doing him a huge injustice, you know. And it's the same way with my son. You know, I want to make sure that he and my students know the proper way, the proper technique, the proper advice, so that they can be successful. Because that's the goal that I have in my life, is to help everybody that I've encountered through the classroom, football field, lacrosse field, is to be successful. And that will look different for everybody. But what doesn't is my ability to keep them accountable and to teach them the right things, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. So I believe it was the 23 year you were coaching with the D-line, and then this year you went back to inside linebackers. So in football, a big thing is adaptability, being able to adapt when different situations come up. You had coached inside linebackers before, but like, what was it like going back to inside linebackers after being with D-line, knowing that they have different techniques, different jobs? How did you adapt to that situation?
You know, I am a firm believer that if you're a good coach, you can coach anything. And so really, I had to take a look at, you know, Nick and Evan and Jack and the young guys and be like, okay, are they doing the things that can help our scheme be successful? And if not, can I correct them so that they can be? You know, with this group, I had to take some different techniques, the way that I coached, just try a lot of different things to make sure that we were on the same page. And one thing, you know, we do, I think really well, is how we grade our guys. Mm-hmm. And so grading our guys so that they can see what they're doing and then what is expected, and communicating that effectively. So I don't know that I really had to adapt. I just may have had to lengthen the expectation, meaning that it wasn't going to be the exact same as when I left inside linebackers. And so I had to allow the guys some time to make the adjustments. Mm-hmm. So if that makes sense.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously, like I said earlier in the episode, you had last year inside linebacker, there were a lot of guys who had been there, like seniors who had been there for a while, who had been had playing time for a long time. Well, then this year, you know, it's like you have guys like Jack, first-time starter. You know, Nick, injured a lot. He's back in the lineup. And then you have guys like A.J. Hughes, just other guys that finally are getting a shot to step up. How were you able to, like, work with a core that hadn't really had that much playing time?
You know, I think that it started with high expectations in the summer and getting them, you know, we shared a lot of reps throughout the summer and early part of the season to try to find the right fit. And usually what happens is guys like Nick and Jack, there's somebody that kind of comes to the forefront and you kind of let them develop that chemistry. And then we've got to bring along the other guys. So like A.J. Hughes, what was A.J. Hughes' role going to be? You know, with a guy who has tremendous speed and the ability to make some plays, running some guys down. And so, you know, he became a third down guy for us. And then, like, we were very thankful for Key Anthony Callaway. And when Jack had his injury this year of state championship week, you know, we were, you know, I didn't feel uneasy to the fact, like, hey, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We've got to do something. You know, like, hey, these are the guys we got. We're going to move forward with them. And they've done what they've needed to do. And, you know, I had a conversation with AJ and with Key Anthony, like, hey, you guys got to step up. Jack's not going to be able to go. And so you guys have to play Trinity football and you have to play the inside linebacker position the way that the guys have done it before with great effort. They did that, you know, and Key Anthony stepped up and did a great job against the run. So, you know, usually we've got that group that comes through, but then we want to find roles where we can get other guys to step in and to get reps. So,
you know, obviously, you know, in the media's eyes, Trinity is like the standard of state championships or it's a bust. But, you know, when Coach Cobb first got here, there were some rough patches, right, where you had losing season, but then you next season after that, you know, 8-5, you lose in the third round of playoffs. How do you and the coaches able to keep? How are you able to keep positive and find light in a dark situation, even though like it's not going to look like the best season? How do you make good out of bad sometimes?
Sure, you know, for us as coaches, if we're in it for the right reasons, it's not about winning. It's about development. You know, I started coaching because I believed that football was a man maker, right? And so I believe that there's a lot of situations that our guys face on the football field or the lacrosse field that they can learn from to help them as they move further in life. And so, you know, even though that we didn't win the state championship a few times since I've been here, there's still been successful situations throughout the season. Guys have improved, guys have learned, and, you know, like Cole Wycliffe didn't have an opportunity as a senior to win a state championship, but, you know, Cole and I have a great relationship, and that young man has grown tremendously. And just the hard work and the effort that he learned through our program is going to help him as he's at Georgetown, you know, fighting for a starting spot this next year. And when he is a professional in whatever he chooses to do, and then he's going to learn things that were going to help his marriage be successful and be a great father. So, you know, those are the things that we as coaches hold dear and that we really strive for. You know, because in reality, all those nice pretty rings that I have sitting on my shelf, they're going to go in a box one day,
yeah.
You know, and nobody's going to, hey, remember that Coach Carpenter won a bunch of rings. What they're going to remember, hopefully, is that I've helped them be successful in different avenues and that they've been able to take those lessons that they've learned and apply them to life when they face adversity or when they have joyful situations or whatever. So,
yeah, I think Coach Foss talked about that a little bit, how, like, whenever, like, a parent or someone would say that, like, you're not playing my kid because you don't like them. He said he really hated to hear that because, like, he really tried to, you know, just make the kid, like, be successful, even if he was on the football field.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, like, sometimes, you know, we as coaches and the way we coach at Trinity, like, it's sometimes very difficult conversations and very hard because there is such high expectation and the standard is, like you said, to win state championships. Everybody that I've ever coached, I've loved. You know, and I know that Coach Fox does as well, Coach Logan and Coach Leslie and I mean, Coach Cobb. It's just sometimes you have hard conversations and things don't always go the way. And that's what I mean when I like talk about being a football's a man maker. You know, like you're going to have situations in life that aren't going to go your way, aren't going to always be sunshine and rainbows. It's going to be tough and you've got to be able to adapt and to move forward and still make a lot of the situation and learn. And so, yeah, you know, we love our guys. You know, we spend countless hours preparing so that our guys have the opportunity to achieve a goal.
So, you know, 25 years in football, you have all the experience in that area. A couple of years ago, you moved over to the lacrosse field in the spring. Take me back. What made you want to start coaching lacrosse? You know, lacrosse is such a new sport at the time, and it's still gaining in popularity to like really cement itself. What made you want to get into lacrosse?
My son Graham, who will be a freshman next year at Trinity, picked up lacrosse in 2020, and he just got introduced to it. And then, of course, it was taken away through the whole pandemic and things like that. And so, our time when we're at home and hanging out, we went and ordered some lacrosse sticks, and you know, we just started doing a bunch of lacrosse catch and shooting and things like that. And so, while he was falling in love with it, I started to fall in love with it because it is such a great sport. And so he pulled me into it, and now it's a lot of what we do. If I'm not doing football, I'm doing lacrosse. You know, I'm actually part of our Christmas vacation is he played in a tournament down in Fort Lauderdale this past week with the team. And so it has been a great opportunity for he and I to spend time together. But also it is such a good game, a fun game, a fast game. It's totally different than football. The skill that's needed, I think, is really interesting to watch and to learn about. So, yeah, he's the one that yanked me into it. And then when Coach Norman had some health issues, Coach Schroeder asked me if I would come in and help. And I said, absolutely. And so it's just building my knowledge and my understanding of the game. I'm still a long way away from being where I need to be. And so I do a lot of studying on that and watching film. You know, I got the opportunity to be with the varsity last year, and it was a special time. There's a special group of guys. And so I love the game. It's you know, an equal passion as football.
So no, earlier in this, you said, you know, a great coach can, you know, coach anything. Well, it's still something you said that I remember. It was we were in the end zone, huddled up, halftime of the St. X game in the playoffs 2023 of that semifinal where we were down, we weren't playing too good. You said, it's not a crisis until you make it a crisis. And I think that was a really good quote because it's like, you don't want to flip out and lose everything because you still have time. You just don't want to blow up and make something a crisis that's not a crisis yet.
Right. You know, and I learned that early on when I got here to Trinity and Coach Beatty, one of our, you know, I got here the summer of 2014, and early that summer, something might not have been going right, and Coach Beatty said, it's only a crisis if we make it a crisis. That's totally applicable to football, to lacrosse, to life, and if you can take a breath, gather information and then make a decision, you're in a much, much better situation.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously, you know, you've coached a lot of great players on, like, the lacrosse field, whether it's, you know, been Huck Campbell, Logan Bryant, or on the football field, whether it's Cole Wycliffe or Nick Cardosi. What separates a great player just on the field from the rest?
The thing that really separates guys, I believe, is their commitment to improvement and growth. Like, let's take a look at Logan Bryant on the lacrosse field. You know, when he was a middle school student, he got cut from one of the travel squads, and his desire and his drive to get better has made him what he is today. It's the same with, like, Nick Cardosi. Nick Cardosi's drive to be the best inside linebacker we've ever had at Trinity. Or the same thing with Cole Wycliffe. Guys who desire to be the best, and when you watch them, you see how important that is to them, because it's what they're about and what they do. And so I would say that that's the key thing. You know, they say the whole quote, like, hard work and hustle is better than talent any, you know, 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a firm believer in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, you just got to see that, like, you know, I think, like, hard work beats talent every time. It's like, if you don't put in the work, your talent can't shine through. And it's like,
100%.
It's all interconnected to each other. So, I mean, whether it's football or with lacrosse, you're a big film guy. You use film a lot. But, you know, when people think film time, they think, oh, just nitpick what a player does wrong. How do you use film to help grow your players? Because obviously, you know, analytics are becoming more and more a part of athletics. How do you use film to help better your players instead of just get on them, you did this wrong, and all that?
Right. Yeah, it is a huge part of what we do, both football-wise and lacrosse-wise, because you can get so many more reps mentally by watching that film. One thing that I was amazed at when our huddle rep came in about a year and a half ago is that Trinity football was in the top 5% in the use of huddle film. Now, what that is, when we look at that, you've got to be willing as a player to look at film and not just watch the game to be entertained. You've got to watch the game to learn. And so what we do football-wise is, you know, we never have enough time to watch film, but is, hey, this is what you've done wrong in this situation. This is how we fix that to make it better. You know, and so that's one way. Another way is to look at your opponent. So if I'm an inside linebacker and we're watching opponent's film, I'm having my inside linebacker watch the guards to see if there's anything that they can pick up on to give them an advantage. You know, it's the same way with lacrosse. If we're a D-middy and we're going up against a guy who loves to roll back, you know, we know that if we're forcing him down the alley and we get over top or we open up our hip, he's going to roll back. So we really want to work on staying square. And so really saying, hey, here's the situation. Here's something that we may have done wrong. And here's how we fix it. Or learning and taking little pieces to make us better, to get the advantage. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of different ways. And the biggest thing for guys is they have to be able to not watch it as entertainment, mm-hmm. and to watch it as an opportunity to learn and to get better.
Yeah, so actually, I've heard that before. So I interviewed Coach Art Smith, who's now at Athens High School for basketball. He talked about how, like, when he first started getting into basketball coach, because he played football all his life, he realized that, like, he wasn't watching basketball just for enjoyment anymore. He was watching it to learn, like, just to study the game and how it's played. So, like, when you probably turn on college football, you're probably watching the game to learn more than anything now.
Yeah, I mean, there's sometimes when I can take a break and be like, okay, I'm just going to watch. Mm-hmm. To be real honest, and I tell this to guys all the time, like, Coach, what games are you watching this week? And I'm like, I'm not going to watch. Because I watch so much of Trinity that I don't watch a lot of Saturday or Sunday football. Mm-hmm. And so when I do, like last night, you know, watching the Arizona State-Texas game, I just tried to watch out of enjoyment, mm-hmm. for the love of the game, you know, so to speak. And that's kind of with football, I can make that. With lacrosse, I really try to watch lacrosse now to learn, mm-hmm. and to pick up technique, because I feel like I don't have the knowledge that I need to be where I need to be coaching-wise. So that is that situation where I'm watching lacrosse to learn. Football, I either don't watch or I try to separate it and say, hey, I'm just going to watch it and enjoy it. So.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously, KHSAA just made lacrosse an official sport for this upcoming season. How do you see the growth of lacrosse, and Kentucky in particular, how do you see it expanding, and what do you think it needs to expand more? Because obviously, you know, you have some club teams, you know, all the stuff that goes on at King Louis right now. But what do you think lacrosse needs to expand in Kentucky, you know, to just grow more as a sport?
You know, I think that it is on the rise, and, you know, there are some really talented players that are happening and growing out of Kentucky. You know, look at Logan Bryant, look at Sam Alexander, look at all of the Huck and Sam Neff and Nick DeGrande and...
Can't land them.
Can't, yeah, I mean, all those guys. And then, you know, Dalton Hubbs, who's down at Jacksonville. There, we have a ton of talent here. And so that's a testament to the programs that we've had in Louisville, through the Kings and through L4, and through other high school programs. You know, I think that for it to continue to grow is that we've got to continue to build the younger generation to fall in love with the game, and to give them opportunities to put a stick in their hand and to get quality reps. Also, I think it's important for the things like Coach Schroeder does, you know, his how he doesn't want to bash an opponent and score 500 goals, because that doesn't do anything for the growth of the game. You know, it's pretty evident when teams aren't as good as the opponent. So why do we need to score 25?
Exactly.
You know, and so those kind of things. I think as the game grows, you know, we were able to just offer a clinic on December 8th at Trinity, where the Professional Lacrosse League, or Premier Lacrosse League, the PLL, their Grant Amon, who's been an all-pro attack, an all-pro midi, came in and did a three-hour clinic. February 8th, we've got a former professional lacrosse player coming in, and the attack of the year, Marcus Holman, are coming in. So those kind of opportunities that can come in, that's going to continue to build the younger generation's excitement. I mean, you know, I see Graham as he's grown up, like he gets excited to see his heroes. You know, well, yeah, if you've got heroes that are coming in and teaching you the game, that's going to make you excited and want to get you better. And so the more things like that we have, and also programs like the Kings, giving our guys the opportunity to go play quality competition. Lincoln Goomer, he's got the opportunity to play with Madlax Capital. And so he's playing on these teams that are giving him exposure to high quality lacrosse. Same with Logan Schweitzer. You know, he's playing with the Silverbacks, and so he's got the opportunity to go and compete at a high level and be in front of coaches that are really like, hey, I like what you're doing, and want to talk to him about the opportunity to play at the next level. Mm-hmm. So I think we're on the right path. I think that we just continue to feed it.
Yeah.
And as much as we can feed it and give our guys and the community opportunity, I think we'll see a continued growth.
Yeah. For me getting to run those two Trinity football and basketball pages, I've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of those, like, high media people. I mean, for basketball, for example, one of their, like, I talked to, his name is Deadstock Visuals, I talked to him. One of his goals that he does for filming is to try and get an EYBL team for basketball here in Kentucky, because there's a lot of good players that come out of Kentucky but then have to transfer or leave to get more recognition. And, like, that's just a big part. I feel like with lacrosse, like, we have a lot of talent here, like a lot of good guys, but I don't want to have to see them leave to go get better opportunities somewhere else. Because, like, with basketball, you know, you see all these guys like Cade Magwood or Tyron Stokes, these high-level recruits, they have to leave to go get publicity. I feel like right now, if we can really just like step on it right now and get lacrosse growing, that we can get a lot of attention for a game that has so much trajectory in their growth.
Absolutely. You know, and I think that, you know, Coach Schroeder and his, you know, the way that he's scheduling, you know, playing top-caliber teams that are ranked in the nation, you know, with Culver and WRA,
yeah,
and you know, playing teams like Upper Arlington, and not this past season, but the year before, we were able to go down to Charlotte and play Charlotte Catholic and Cardinal Gibbons. You know, those kind of programs that have that the calibers that they have, you know, multiple Division I guys playing, if our guys are well, you know, that film's going to get out there, and they're going to be able to see things like that. You know, like with Logan, Logan goes down to UNC team camp and has a great time. And so, you know, hey, he gets noticed by coaches. Those are the things that Pete's going to, he's really good at. He's given our guys the opportunity. And, you know, I think that that continues to grow. I'm excited about, you know, my son being a 29, and that group that we've got coming in right now, knock on wood, is going to stick together, and we've got a great group coming in. And that's going to be really special if we can keep doing those kind of things and giving them the opportunities. You know, one of Coach West, who is the director of the Kings, you know, he's got a quality program in it. And so with that 29 team kind of being his first team, he's taken them to like the Naptown Challenge, which is a huge lacrosse tournament this summer, and given them opportunities to perform on a bigger stage. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I feel that's something that Pete does very well. It's like Pete understands that, like, you know, lacrosse isn't like to the level of like media or like publicity where it wants to be. So Pete does a great job, you know, getting players out there, like, you know, with UNC camp, Ohio State camp, just all these different like almost like exposure events, of but also building that team chemistry together. And I think that really helps because Pete's been around the game forever and he understands how to, like, you know, almost be like a player's coach and get opportunities for his guys.
Yeah, absolutely he does. You know, and he's well connected. You know, that the lacrosse community is pretty small for the most part. You know, just being down here and the team that Graham played for, the coach that coached his team is really good friends with one of the coaches on his box team. You know, and so it's small. And so coach knows that and has those connections and has the ability that if we have a player that has the caliber to play at the next level, that he gets that name out. Mm-hmm. So absolutely.
Yeah. And so just to get more local here, what do you, so obviously, you know, we won the last of the KSLL championship here. What do you think this current team going into this year needs to do to go back to back?
You know, I think the first thing is that we don't put our sight necessarily on that last game.
Right? Yeah.
You know, we focus on each game individually. You know, one thing we have the opportunity with the KHSAA this year is that we'll start a few weeks earlier. And so the guys have been working on since Labor Day of developing, you know, keeping their stick skills up, doing a few of open field opportunities, hitting the weight room hard. And so they've been laying that foundation and strengthening the foundation that they have for sure. I think, you know, that the key thing for us and the opportunity to give us an opportunity to play for state championship is to take it one game at a time, because we do have extremely talented guys with good chemistry, you know, top to bottom. We've got a solid group of offensive guys, a solid group of defensive guys. And our special team guys are good, you know, with Wick and with Brantle being there, like, they're really talented. And so we can't get ahead of ourselves. We stay focused on the here and now. And I think we'll have an opportunity to be competitive for the state championship and the new KHSA state championship.
So
it would be really cool to win the last KSLL and the first KHSA.
Yeah, that would be really cool. So I talked to Coach Fox said this. I think it's a testament to Trinity. He said that if all of the coaches were fired, but Coach Snyder was still there, that Trinity football would be okay. What does he do? Like, obviously, you know, he's big on, like, developing the players, like, in the weight room. How big of an impact does he have? Because obviously it's two ways, though. Coach Snyder can give you all, you know, the right workouts to do and everything to do, but if a player doesn't go as hard, it's not going to see the results. How does Coach Snyder really just help the athletics programs in general?
I think Coach Snyder is an extension of all of the programs, whether it be basketball, baseball, football, you know, lacrosse. you know, what he is he has high expectations and has accountability. And it doesn't fall off ever, you know. And so just Coach Snyder is a guy that has high expectations for our guys, and he keeps them accountable, and he expects them to give their very best. That weight room is an extension of the classroom and the competitive field or court, and he recognizes that. And you know, and so if a guy messes up, he's going to say, "Hey, get out," because that's not what we do around here, and that's not how we do it. His level of accountability and expectation, guys want to rise to that. You know, and just not just what he's doing, he's constantly learning about opportunities to make guys better, to make guys stronger, to make guys faster. And you can see that in the innovations that we've been doing in the weight room with the catapults and with measuring force production and things like that. You know, he's constantly learning so that he can take that knowledge and give it to the guys, and which is super cool. I think that, you know, I've had an opportunity to be around a lot of strength and conditioning programs in my 25 years of coaching, and I think that Coach Snyder is by far, hands down, the best guy in that profession I've been around. So,
yeah, I mean, you can just tell that, like, he holds just that weight to such a high standard that, like, it's not going to drop off just because you're not on the field doing a pass rushing drill or doing a receiver drill. That he's going to keep that to that same standard. And I think that's, like, important just, like, to set the bar for, is, like, the standards going to continue everywhere. Because that's something, you know, that Trinity always tells you to do, is, like, do it outside the classroom and, like, wherever you are. Dr. Zala says it every Friday. And I think that's kind of what Coach Snyder does, is he just makes sure that the weight room isn't, like, a joke place. If that's the place you go to work.
Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely. And what I try to do in my position group, you know, whether that be defensively on the cross field or inside linebackers, is to talk about the things that Coach Snyder talks about. You know, in our body position, athletic position, to emphasize and to reiterate what he's saying in that weight room, in that classroom setting, and say, oh, here's the connection. Here's the connection from what we're doing in there, getting better in explosive movement. That's how I can use that on the football field or the lacrosse field for sure. So,
yeah. But yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, it's going to be another great lacrosse season, hopefully. So then, you know, what are you looking forward to this next football season? Like, you know, it's off season already, but, you know, you all get started pretty early. You know, January is kind of off, but then, like, once February hits, you know, the guys are back in the weight room. Then, like, I think after spring break, you all do your speed training. So obviously, you know, you stay busy with lacrosse in the off season, but, like, how are you already looking ahead? Because it's not going to be the same team as this year. It's going to be a different team, new senior leadership. How are you already looking for that next season to see what you can do?
Well, you know, it's on the bus. You know, we just won the state championship this year, and then on the bus ride back, we start talking about the next year. It doesn't take us long to start thinking about the things that we have to do for the next season. Just that's kind of part of what makes our coaching staff special. But, you know, the things that we're looking for right now is just who's going to be committed to the weight room. One thing that we do that's just really important is we have exit meetings with all of our returners. So before we got out of there for Christmas break, you know, I met with the 12 inside linebackers that I've got coming back. I was fortunate to have three freshmen come up and to join us. And so I had relationship and I can talk with them about the importance of the weight room and the things that we're doing. And so, you know, we look for that growth physically, but also what we look for is who's going to step up and start leading. You know, is it going to be an inside linebacker? Is it going to be Luke Vise? Who's going to be, you know, what kind of leadership skills is Graham Botner going to bring next year? You know, we've got Miles Housie. You know, how is he going to improve? He's got baseball. We've got Blue, who's got baseball. And so we're not going to see them every day, but, you know, we're still going to watch and evaluate them and to see how they're going to mature and start like, yeah, I'm a leader and I'm going to elevate the people around us. So we really look for that too. And how the things that we talked about in our exit meetings, how do our guys embrace that and really start to try to focus on that so that they can be where they need to be when it comes Memorial Day weekend and we start getting ready. So,
yep. Well, it's going to be a very fun time for athletics this upcoming year. Thank you for coming, Coach Carpenter. This has been another episode of the Uncensored Podcast. I'm Carter Haas.
I'm Coach Carpenter.
Thank you for listening.